determined gardeners have always found a way to grow things, even when they live in a city. This week on the Nature Stories podcast, we meet urban farmers who keep chickens, too. I'm Samantha Brown with Atlantic Public Media, curating this podcast in collaboration with the Nature Conservancy and the Public Radio Exchange. We bring you pieces about the intersection of people and place. Here's Tour de Coupes, produced by Julie Sabaté for Destination DIY.
If growing your own tomatoes is gardening 101, keeping chickens is the intermediate level. It's legal for a household to have up to 3 hens, ducks, rabbits, or pygmy goats without a permit in Portland. A recent Craigslist search brought up 49 chicken-related postings from Gresham to West Lynn. Several of my own neighbors have feathered creatures roaming around in their yards. The annual Tour de Coupes offers Portlanders a peek into the lives of the poultry next door. This year's tour, organized by the nonprofit Growing Gardens, showcased 18 different coops. Can you interpret the noises that the chickens are making right now?
Right now, I think it's kind of like their idling noise that they just kind of persistently make.
So this is just sort of normal for your backyard, this noise?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. When they're out and about in the daytime, they tend to be doing that. And I think that's pretty pleasant. You know, that doesn't get annoying.
Jimmy Cookman constructed his walk-in chicken coop out of recycled materials.
We've got about 320 square foot enclosure that slants on one side but ends up being about 8 feet tall. And it's wrapped in a combination of cyclone fence and chicken wire using reused 2x4s and such with a pressure-treated 4x4 erect frame. And that gives them more than adequate space to move around, use their wings, climb on some branches that are hung about for them to perch on. Yeah, and that's what we're looking at.
Jimmy's coop also has a small wooden hen house where the birds lay their eggs and keep warm in the winter. He says raising chickens is pretty easy, aside from one persistent challenge.
Raccoons, that's it, you know. They want to kill your chickens all the time. And so through building this outer enclosure and sealing it up pretty good, that's dealt with it. Also, relocation of the raccoons is another good way to go about it.
What do you mean by relocation?
That's one way to get rid of them. Take them across a body of water and drop them off. They can apparently make it back, like I've heard, as far as 30 miles. They can track their way home. So you want to get them across a river or something.
Have you tried that?
Yeah. Yeah. Take them, yeah, to Vancouver.
Jimmy says his main motivation to keep chickens was to stop eating eggs from factory farms. He's not a vegetarian, but says he would never consider his chickens as anything other than pets. Angela Goldsmith has a different take on the delicate subject of chicken consumption.
I just don't like the idea of having to pluck them. They're egg producers. They produce more protein if you have ongoing egg production than if you kill the chicken. So it's a little bit more sustainable approach, I think. I grew up on a sheep ranch, so I have a little bit of a different perspective.
Angela spoke to me while nursing her youngest daughter on the porch of her house. She says she's gotten to know her birds and their distinct personalities.
One of them's very timid. The Araucana is a very timid, holdable chicken. If you were inclined to have a pet chicken, the Araucana would be a good one. The Silver Leghorn's the one that's a princess. She needs to lay under the jasmine. She tries to get out every time we open up the coop, and she's not happy. I've had a lot of chickens over the years, and they're all different.
My next stop on the tour was Kurt Liebezeit's house.
Hi, my name's Kurt Liebezeit, and I live in Northeast Portland, Oregon. And what else would you like to know?
Kurt's garden was the most impressive I saw all day. He has 4 raised beds in his small yard where he raises a variety of crops, including tomatoes, beans, beets, barley, onions, zucchini, raspberries, and cucumbers. He also grows grapes and dwarf apple trees. One bed is devoted entirely to Austrian field peas, which he grows specifically for bedding in his chicken coop.
Hey, girls. I envisioned having our yard be more of an entire cycle where chickens would play a part both in the fertility you know, of how they process the waste, because almost all of our compost goes through the chicken coop and then comes out as their poop, and that's what we use to fertilize. And, you know, next year we may convert the front yard to food. Food, not lawns, I think is the saying that goes.
As I was touring coops in North Portland, I met Scott and Selena. They told me they've been on the tour in the past, and they see urban chickens as a growing trend.
There's more and more every day, and so it's kind of crazy. There are a few people that maybe like had farms and stuff when they were kids, but these are like hipster, like Portland people that are just like, hey, it's kind of fun. It's a different type of pet. It's like what those little pot-bellied pigs were in the mid-90s, you know, when everybody had to have
chickens
one.
Chickens are the new pot-bellied pig.
They're way better than cats, by the way, because cats.
Yeah,
just...
because cats don't do anything. They just lay around. Like at least chickens like give you something.
Well, they don't give you love. Cats give you love, but
yeah.
They.
That's true. That's
but
true.
The chickens, they don't give you love, but they give you eggs.
Biking home from my last stop on the tour de coops, I found myself wondering, why do I have two cats and no chickens? The idea of raising these egg-laying birds was growing on me, but there is that nagging question of what to do when they stop laying. I'm an omnivore, but I'm not sure I could eat an animal that lived most of its life in my yard. I may put that decision on hold and just start building a coop.
That's Julie Sabate in Portland, Oregon. Go to the Public Radio Exchange, prx.org, to hear more pieces like these. The Nature Conservancy provides support for this podcast, online at nature.org/stories, committed to protecting nature and preserving life. From Woods Hole, Massachusetts, I'm Samantha Brown. Join us next week.